Sunday, Test 12 LO, August 27th, something like that, 26th. Ladies here in Derek Hashem. According to the schedule we put out, we're going to go over the first parrot. We're going to serve baking for 45 minutes. I'll be flipping tapes. A little hesitant. We'll cover the main things. Hopefully, that is Hashem. Ramchal, famous figure, and he lived basically the time of the Gra, a little before the Gra, and he wrote a lot of Sfarim. Most famous, I'm sure, the Silas Sharim, followed closely in seals by Derek Shem and Das Vunos. He wrote many, many, many other. The Silas Sharim speaks to everybody. And it's a practical sefer and how to attain, he writes in Gedoma, how to attain the purpose of life, which is with his Anag Hashem, the bond with Hashem. We don't really know what that means, but somehow, after we're finished with this world, a very fleeting journey, at most, what we pray and wish for, and we wish everybody a certain amount of years, it's a blink of an eye in terms of 6,000 years, and it's not even the blink of an eye in terms of eternity. So there are now we're going to say the Derech Hashem, which I like to call the spirituality, how things work. Life is described all in the world, it's gravity, brain, and everything in the whole being, everything that if we just talk about the physical aspects of this, especially nowadays when there's an explosion of knowledge, and the more recent nowadays that there's an explosion of the accessibility of so much knowledge to every person who has a computer mouse and access millions and millions of articles and books about anything in the Bria that they choose to delve into, and they see all the, not all, they see up to today, they could. There's a lot more to be discovered. There's a lot the scientists admit they don't know. There's much more that they don't know and they don't admit to. But a world of knowledge, that boggles the mind. So the Ramchal does that in Ruchnius. They haven't yet made the link to. Well, what it is you have the Ramchal is really basic stuff, as funny as it sounds. Derech Hashem I'm talking now. Derech Hashem would be probably the equivalent of high school physics. And then you have the Malei Kabbalah, who delves into the even more Kabbalah, as Derech Hashem sounds to us, but it's like sort of the surface of Kabbalah. And then you have all the Sfarim, the Kabbalah Sfarim of Kabbalah, who describe in even more detail the spiritual world. So there's a lot out there that we're not aware of. Like, again, a specific example, this is the Museum of Natural History. So they showed you what's doing under the ground, and all the layers, and all the animals, and all the. I just saw something about the ocean, how deep it is, and the layers of the ocean, and all the fish and the sea creatures that are so, so deep, and we're oblivious to it. And we go to an aquarium, we see nothing, we see like. So the Ramchal opens the window to a realization. I think like the benefit I get out of money there at Hashem is just to push it to realization that there's so much going on. And that's the real world. We're in the fake world. We're in the world of the ramifications of everything that goes on in the spiritual world. The real world is the spiritual world. Those the forces that control everything in this world are spiritual. Malachim, Hashem, Malachim, Kochavim, 10 types of Malachim, the Rambam counts out. So, and we like, you know, like children. Like I said, like a child thinks he puts on the light and flipping the switch. And that's what he's happy with that. That's what we're happy with that also. We're happy with someone getting sick because they're sick. And, you know, all the things in life that we have. So we're like children flipping the switch and saying, yeah, I understand. The light goes on. Flip the switch. Which is the height of absurdity. So it's just as absurd if we think that things happen, whether it's on a micro level. I missed my bus this morning, I stubbed my toe, I lost my key. On a macro level, if there's a war between nations and people die, or economic upheavals, it's all the light switch. It's all light. See, well, I'm telling you, a little taste that there's so much going on. Okay, now that I used up so much precious time, text. I mean, so Chelek Aleph, four Chalakim. The second Chelek that we just finished goes into Hashgacha Pratis, giving us a glimpse of why things happen. Not really why, because we never know in any particular case exactly why it happens, but how things work in terms of cause and effect in the spiritual world. That's Chelek Beis that we just finished. Chelek Gimel will be the world of Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, and like, you know, really, really far. And that's what they would valid, he puts it last, is to tell us what happens in everyday life and spirituality. What happens when we daven? What happens when we blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah? What happens when we eat matzah? What happens when we sit in the sukkah? What happens when we do mitzvahs, when we do chesed? What happens on Shabbos? Like, well, the forces that come into play as we go through our daily lives. Okay, so Chelek Aleph is Yesodos, principles of the Bria. So Perek Aleph talks about Hashem, and the irony of talking about Hashem is that one of the principles is that we really can't grasp Hashem intellectually. We can't envision Hashem, we can't grasp, our minds do not grasp a being such as Hashem. Our minds don't even grasp any spiritual being, really, because in Hashem. But we believe, or we know, Ramchal emphasizes that at Har Sinai, we all reached a certain level of knowledge, of seeing it, and then they gave over to the children. So it's the seeing of the door, and then they give them over to the children. Others learn, and the Ramchal acknowledges it, that there are philosophical pathways to figure everything out. We're not the Chavis HaVolis, or the Ruchim. There are philosophical Mahalchim. We're not familiar with, it doesn't talk to modern men. Most of us doesn't talk to him. So, a component of Ramchal says to Hashem that Hashem is the only objective Messias that there is. He empowers everything. He created everything. Yesh Me'ayim. He is the only objective existence. Ein lo guf, ein lo dmus haguf. There's nothing physical about him in any way, shape, or form. He is Muchrach HaMetzias. He is the only entity which is Muchrach HaMetzias. Muchrach HaMetzias means it must exist. Everything else exists because he wants it to. And he is not Murkav at all. He's not made up of moving parts. It's just one glob of Hashem. And, you know, we have emotions, and we have intellect, and we have knowledge, and we have memory, and we have midos, and we have Hashem is none of that. None of that exists as parts of the one entity. And the Chalas is very hard for us to even grasp what that means. Because we are so unfamiliar with perfect unity. And that's part of Hashem Echad, that it's perfect unity. It's not made up of any Herkev whatsoever. Of course, there's no Shittos, there's no other power, and there's nothing that's been compared to him. And we have this, again, the Kabbalah. And we say, Eino Luvado, and that's Perek Aleph. Perek Beis he gets down to the nitty gritty. Why did Hashem create the world? So Ramchal, very, very famous Ramchal's approach, probably the most famous aspect of Derech Hashem, and it's quoted all over, and it's stated all over by other sources, and maybe the Ramchal is the source of it. And there's a question if the Ramchal, if it could fit with, let's say, with Tanya writes, which have been Chabad Sorum, but we're certainly not going to delve into that now. And famously, the Ramchal says that Hashem is a native, Hashem is good, by his own definition of good, and he's a good Tov that has to be, wants to be native, but good overflows, because part of being good is that you're native to others. And so Hashem, here comes a philosophical question, does Hashem ever have to do anything? So what do you mean he had to? So we'll put that aside, because we could think about that and talk about that for hours and hours and not reach any practical conclusion. So we'll just say that Hashem decided, and we don't know when he decided, because time wasn't created yet. So to say when he decided is a silly question, because there was no time yet. It was just Hashem. But at one point in no time, there came a point. I don't know, even that's not a true phrase. There's no time, a point doesn't come. So we don't know. We don't know. But Hashem decided to make a Bria, and the only and the purpose was for him to be made. Did he have to do it? Is there a chatov? Mimuhus chatov lahetiv? So again, it's not worth it. I don't think it's worth it. Let's just accept that Hashem is a made, because that has huge ramifications for our lives. Because this principle that everything Hashem does is latov, and Rabbi Akiva's statement, that's called Ma'od, could you bring the tab of it? And Nachumish Gamzu's statement, of Gamzu Latova, and all the millions of words that have been written of how people are to take Yisurin and be it, and what we see as being news, because no one likes to call it revealed good, and not revealed good.
Concealed good.
Concealed good, concealed good, and revealed good. I love those phrases. It's not other, by the way. It's Lubavitch. It's very, very bitty. It hits it like exactly. It's a perfect way of expressing it. I really, I thank you for those words, because it's a perfect way of expressing it. And really, we jump from why Hashem made the world to our everyday lives, how to deal with adversary, and sometimes it's on tragedy, certainly problems. You know, and we maintain the idea that Hashem is good and everything is for the good and everything is for a reason and it's a good reason and it's for our benefit. But getting back to the creation of the world, and when we say the world, we don't mean that funny ball spinning in space. We mean everything, 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 everything in the entire universe and beyond the universe, all the universes, and we quark, every atom, everything. Anything besides, that looks like it exists besides Hashem. It really doesn't, because it's His will. And we're looking at a manifestation of His will. But upon Him, everything is good, and the ultimate good, the most powerful good, is Dveikus Hashem. To bond with Hashem, to be part of Hashem. We don't know what that means. So Zeshurim just says, person was created with his Amad al Hashem. That's all we're told. And the Masonic al Hashem, by being like him, and therefore bonding with him forever and ever and ever and ever as part of him. That's all, we just know the words. And there's pleasure, there's Tova. Now, so Hashem is like that. I'm talking about Hashem as if we were talking about a person with a problem. So Hashem said, okay, how am I going to go about this? How are we going to get the ultimate Tov, the ultimate flameless, the ultimate Dveikus? So he goes and creates a Bria with 1 million, 2 million, 5 million moving parts, so that every aspect of being, of existence, is created to serve him, serving him, acknowledging him as Hashem is brings you closer there, makes you dovek, and so everything is going to be dovek Hashem. But then Hashem says to himself, so to speak, this is not good enough because it's a freebie. So I'm creating things that will bond with me as they serve me, but it's not really as good. You know, some of you say, you know, this is as good as it gets. So Hashem said, this is not as good as it gets. It could be even better. Better, it could be better. I'm going to create a unique creation who is going to be responsible for his bonding with me, his or her bonding with me. That real, he's going to do it, and that's going to accomplish two things. By his deciding to do it, he will deserve the reward, and a freebie is not as good as it gets. Because if I give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he has every day food. So a freebie is not the best thing Hashem could do for us. The best thing is not to give tzedakah, the best thing is to get a guy a job. That's the best thing. And he earns his money. The best thing is, you should earn that money, not take care of it. It's the best. The best for that. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but they can, but that's the best. So that's number one. So the ultimate best is when it's Yigia Kabefa Kisokel, when I am eating the fruits of my own labor. The Gemara even says it in a halachic way, that a person enjoys his own work more than he enjoys if he finds someone else's thing. Now, if I work for real world experiences, if I work and I get my paycheck, I enjoy that much more than if I found that money in the street. Maybe there's an immediate surge of pleasure when you find it in the street. You go, wow, but you're empty inside. And when you work for it, you come back and you, this is my work. I work for this. I earned this. I earned it. That is the best total work you can do. That's number one. Number two, the Ramchal points out, one of the ways we achieve shleimus and dveikus is by being like Hashem. So that's true on the level of being kind like Hashem, and being good like Hashem, and doing chesed like Hashem, and being as kadosh. Well, we can't be as kadosh as Hashem, but being as spiritual as we can, not being bogged down by gashmius. And this, that we control our destiny, so we're like Hashem. That's as close as he can come to making an object of creation that could be like him and thus bond with him. So again, I'll repeat. So the fact that we earn our way, they say, I'm going to create a Bria that can bond with me, and that is like great, I'm going to be made this. But that's not the ultimate good. The ultimate good is that the Bria in nature earn its way in bonding with me. And that has two benefits. One is, when you earn something, it's just better. And number two, you're more like Hashem. You're more like Hashem, because you're making decisions, you're deciding, you're the master of your own fate. To whatever degree Hashem allows us to be the master of our fate, and we are the only thing in this entire vast universe that have this quality of being the masters of our fate. In shorthand, we call it Bechira. We choose. We choose good or bad. Other things we don't choose, but when something is told or wrapped, when something brings us closer to Hashem. So that's the ultimate tova. And if we blow it, then, you know, then we blew it. But it's our choice. So Hashem made a human being with Bechira. And the Bechira is created by a person, the Ramchal's view of a person is that, at least initially in this world, there's a battle, because he has a guf, which is Pehema, and he has a neshama, which is like Hashem, and the guf wants to be chumri, and the guf wants pleasure, physical pleasures. The guf doesn't want to be spiritual, the guf doesn't appreciate spiritual pleasures, at least at this point in its history. And then you have the neshama that wants to be like Hashem, and wants to bond with Hashem. And so Hashem's put us into the boxing ring and said, slug it out, and if you win, it's going to be much, much better than if I just give you a freebie. But to enable that, you have to be able to lose. So that's it. That's the game of life, the game of the Bria. But Hashem said, you know, the battle, you know, the boxing match is only going to last, what is it, 10 rounds, or does it last, a boxing match, something like that. It's only going to last a limited amount of time. And after that, everybody will have their reward, or really, sort of not exist anymore. But they'll get their ultimate reward. So one is Mugbal, and one is not Mugbal. It's not even. Hashem stacked the cards, like he said. The good is going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The battle is a particular amount of time, a particular battlefield. Olam Hazeh is limited. Mugbal, Olam Haba, forever and ever and ever, and not Mugbal at all. Then the Ramchal says, by the way, mankind as we see it now is not the mankind that Hashem originally made. Hashem originally made mankind that is 50-50, an equal balance of Chomer and Neshama. It's an equal fight. You know, they weigh the boxer for a match, and they weigh pretty much the same. And they both come out swinging, but then under Marishon, we don't know what happened. Talked about a lot of Sfarim. Brother Marishon made a mistake, he sinned, and since he was under Marishon, and his genetic material, his being, father of all mankind, so everything changed. First of all, it's not an even fight anymore. It's mamish, an uphill struggle to be Ruchni. It's just a struggle. It's an uphill struggle. You're fighting again. It's not even anymore. The cards are not evenly stacked anymore. You can look at it from one perspective that then the Tova is even more. Because if you win the battle, and you won the uphill battle, then you get, it's more you, it's more. But, so that's a question, and again, it's a philosophical question. Hashem Luchar made the ideal Bria. So the ideal balance is obviously, one would say, Adam Arishim Kodem Achet. On the other hand, many hold, I'm talking about Bali Machshava, Bali Hashkafa, Bali Musar, that Hashem really wanted what happened after the world as it is after the hate. And it was just a question of who's going to pull his finger out of the dike, you know. It didn't have to be Adam. Maybe it would have been Cain. Maybe it would have been Hevel. Maybe it would have been somebody else. That's how some learn. Again, there's philosophy already. We could talk about it. Enjoy talking about it. That has no practical ramification for us, because people like to talk about such things. But a component of the ideal world, we don't know which is the ideal, but and you can see both sides. The ideal world is that more people have a crack at the ultimate good, because it's 50-50. On the other hand, if you have to battle an uphill battle, then wow, then you really, you know, imagine after a lifetime of struggling against your goof, you become an Avraham Avinu. Or you become a Moshe Feinstein, you know. But that's what happened. That's one. Another thing that happened is that Hashem was Gozer Misa. And that's just, so Ramchal explains that. We're in Perek Shlishi, by the way. Ramchal explains that we're not talking about a punishment. It's much deeper than a punishment. The goof has now become the enemy of mankind. And it's in control. Ultimately, the Ramchal says, and he assumes, and most hold like this, that the ultimate Nitzchias is going to have the goof back again in some way, shape, or form. and the neshama that you purified with your spiritual life has the power to, we'll make up a word, to spiritualize the body. To make the body won't be as gross as it is now. It will be some form of, it will be a spiritual body. You'll still have a guf and a neshama, a netzach. Maybe it will be like malachim, who are said to have some sort of physical essence to them, although a very dark one, not a gas one, not a coarse one, but a very, very fine. So, but for that to happen, the guf has to decompose. For that to happen, the neshama has to leave the guf. No more direct flights. The neshama has to go first to Gan Eden, hopefully, which Rambam describes as stopover, while the guf decomposes, because the guf was not in a good place because of the marishon. The guf was not in a good place. The neshama, the purification of the body, the spiritualization of the body, through the neshama that I energized with my life, hopefully, and I was spiritual and I bonded with Hashem in this world through mitzvahs, through Torah and mitzvahs, so that will energize the body after the body decomposes. So that's also what on the Marishon, what happened there. So the reason, that's why the Misa is not just punishment. The Misa is because of the effect of what happened to the body, what happened to Chumrius, what happened to Gashmius. It became like really, really bad. And so now Chumrius was an uphill battle, and the body portion has to decompose before it can come back as a Nitzchiyus spiritual entity. So in the Ramchal's world, you have Olam HaZeh, you have Gan Eden and Gehenna, which will be described later on, but Gehenna is a big... In the Ramchal's world, maybe we can be Zohar to Gehenna. Maybe we can be Zohar to Gehenna. And the Gehenna purifies the soul, and the Lisa and the decomposition decomposes the guf, and then the soul spiritualizes the guf, and that's what lives on in the world of ultimate tanuk, like la'ad le'omei olamim. And meanwhile, while this is going on, the neshama has a way station where it recharges. The neshama is awfully tired. This is what Chal describes, and I'm being a little jocular, but basically that's what he describes. The neshama is like depleted by its constant battles with Kashmiristic things in the Kashmiristic world. So while the goof is decomposing, so the neshama is plugged in like an airport, plugging his cell phone in these things, and they recharge. So the neshama is getting recharged in Gan Eden. And then, by Tiasanesim, everything comes back together and it's a spiritualized goof. Okay, that's basically the description of Perek Gimel. Perek Daled, he just gets into more detail, and we gave the example of spirituality and bonding with Hashem, and good things are all a result of Or Pnei Hashem. So we compared it to the window, and Hashem is always the same. Hashem doesn't change. So the sun is always shining through the window, but the window sometimes is muddy and dirty. And that's the goof, and that's my averus, and I don't get the benefit of Or Pnei Hashem. So I wipe away the window, I clean the window, that's what I'm doing. I'm scrubbing my neshama, I'm scrubbing the window in order to allow the full Or Pnei Hashem. And that results in good things and in bonding with Hashem, the layer of Or Elyon, and otherwise I'm in Choshech. Hashem did another trick. Hashem did another trick. In order to help you in this uphill battle, he decided that he's going to take the chumrius of the guf and he's going to allow it to be involved in spiritual things too. And that's called Torah u'mitzvahs. By giving Torah u'mitzvahs and by saying you have to do this, you're not allowed to do that, he's taking the guf, which is an animalistic entity, it's behemoth, it's gas, it's coarse, it does all the things an animal does. That's what the goof does. But he said, you know what, we gotta even playing field a little. How the neshama gonna win such an uneven battle? We're gonna get the goof to be spiritual too. It's going to have to do things. And that's Torah, and that's the mitzvahs, and that's how the guf is involved in being konesh shleimus. And in fact, Hashem created a world in which you have to go through the guf. The neshama is trapped. The neshama is depressed through its being trapped. But it's trapped. It's trapped, and the guf has the power to free the neshama and allow it to shine. Because ironically, it's the guf, which is the source of the problem in the first place, especially if the effect of the marisha, it's even more the problem. But the guf is what gets the commandments. The guf says, don't do this, you'll increase your physicality. If you eat this, if you do this, if you talk about your heart, if you do bad, if you do evil, if you do the things that are enumerated in the 365 laws, that says, you will become more hungry. And if you refrain from them, and refraining from doing an aveira also polishes the neshama, polishes the window. It's not just for it's hard for a lot if we have an opportunity and we don't do it. So, and that sometimes takes more energy. It takes more energy to not embarrass someone when we have an opportunity, or not to take mekama. We take much more spiritual energy than doing chesed, you know. So split it to the asays and the los asays, and so that is good. That gives the guf a spiritual task. Because we do mitzvahs only with our guf. We have no other way of doing mitzvahs. We can't relate to shine our neshamas and ultimately bond with Hashem because we created a spiritual entity washing the window and shining the neshama. Can't do it without the guf. You need the guf to wash the window. So that's one point, that the guf is very heavily involved in that. Also, and this is alluded to in the source of Shavuot, but here it says it more explicitly. Also, another trick Hashem made is that the whole bria is now dependent on the person. In other words, that the bria should bond with Hashem. It's not like Hashem made a bria and he meant it to be mative, so he made entities that are going to ultimately bond with him. But now these entities are going to bond with him if a person is going to use the world. He's going to use the world to do mitzvahs, whether it's earning money to do mitzvahs, whether it's anything we do. If we do mitzvahs, and mitzvahs doesn't have to be the 248 mitzvahs, everything I do that I do as the Ratzon Hashem, I'm fulfilling Hashem's will. Hashem wants me to make this cake now. To women, Hashem wants me to make the supper, Hashem wants me to do the laundry, Hashem wants me, or anything of a person that does anything physical. So not only is the physical guf responsible for introducing ruchnius into the shama, and then it gets reflected into the guf. But the whole world is structured that everything we do is using the gashmius and the ruch, the gashmius of the world. Everything we do, and we can't survive otherwise. Whether it's food or money or working, anything we do is dependent and kashur to the gashmius of the world. But we use it, and that's what the Sharm describes as Ma'ale Kol Olam Kulo Ipi. When I make good choices and I shine my neshama, so not only am I Ma'ale my guf, but I'm Ma'ale all the parts of the universe that I use to do whatever it is I did, so that they come along and they get their schar also, because I energize them in that way. Maral says at the end of Perek Dalet, Ramchal says at the end of Perek Dalet, that, and this is something, you know, that the two most powerful maslulim to bond with Hashem is Ava Hashem and Yira Hashem. Ava and Yira, really I would even step back a little and say awareness of Hashem, that's the Sheish Mitzvahs. To me, he doesn't say that, but I'm saying it. The idea that we are aware of Hashem, it's really more powerful than the mitzvahs. It's not an excuse to not do the mitzvahs, but it's very powerful. It's the relationship itself. Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem. If I do his ratzon, so that's good, and I show that I have Ava, maybe Yira. But the Ava itself and the Yira itself, when a person's in love, so that is a stronger emotion than anything if I buy a present to express my love, to show my love. So that's wonderful, that's fine, but it's never going to be as powerful as the love itself. Love itself is it. So the Ramchal says, all the mitzvahs and everything, they take second place. Never have to show them second place in terms of overlooking them and not doing them, they're not that important. But he wants us to know that Ava and Yira will be our connection to Hashem. I would then hear the idea of Shemisi Hashem and thank you from it. The Sheish Mitzvahs is, which include Ava Hashem and Yira Hashem, and awareness of Hashem, and really the awareness of all the things he talked about in the very beginning of Chelek Aleph, which I went through today. So all that is the stronger way of creating that bond. He then says there's a whole spiritual world, we call it in Shemayim, but you know, our Shemayim is also physical. But somewhere up there, there's a spiritual world. And he says that you gotta know that everything is already in Perek Mishi. Everything that happens in the Olamos HaElyon. Everything that occurs, everything that happens down here is only a ripple effect. The Sar Shel, Hashem decides that the Sar Shel Mitzrayim is going to go to war against sorrow, bubble place. But it doesn't have to be that fancy. It could be the sire of foxes is going to go to war against the sire of chickens. And the foxes are going to attack the chickens. So it sounds humorous, but it happens in Shemayim. It doesn't happen down here. Down here is this chain, think of it as a chain with a billion links. And the chain is yanked in Shemayim, and when it gets down here, the fox eats the chicken. But in Shemayim, it's forces. This is what, if you delve more into Kabbalah, that's what you learn about what those forces are, and what their names are, and what they represent, and it's Din, and it's Rachamim, and it's all fancy names. And so that's the Gashmius is connected to the Ruchnius of Shammai, and things happen down here, and newspapers pontificate about why the economy went up and why the economy went down and why it went sideways, but everything happened in Shammai, with the exception of, except it's not really an exception, as I'll say in a moment, of Bechira. Because when things are dependent on my Bechira, then I decide down here what's going to be, but the source of everything that happens down here is still in Shammai. So I think of it, so everything in the world, that, whether it's the economy, if it's not kosher to Bechira, then puppets and the hand holding the strings of the puppets are in Shammai, and the puppets are just being puppets. In Bechira things, those hands are also puppets. And I am holding my hands above those hands, and I have strings connected to those hands. And I am making the hands dance the way they're going to dance as a tosah of my Bechira actions. And then, the imagery really of the Ramchal is that it goes, this chain connecting Shemayim and Oretz, Ruach Nielsen down here, so it comes down. But in Bechira matters, it goes up and then down. It goes up, and I affect what happens in Shemayim through my tefillos, through my mitzvahs, through my averus, through my Ruach Nielsenic actions. So I affect Tov and Ra, or Tov and, we call Tov and Ra, Tzoros and Matzoros and Shemayim, and then it comes back down, because that's always the way it works, that it happens in Shemayim, and it has this Tzoros Lamata. And we just like the whole Helikawa, basically, in a matter of speaking.
Okay. So Wednesday.